Word of mouth.
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 Word of
mouth. From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. Last week, author J.K. Rowling of Harry Potter fame was revealed to be the true author of The Cuckoo's Calling, a mystery novel written under the pen name Robert Galbraith. Signed first editions of the book are now selling for well over $6,000, a testament to the value of a name. Reporters at the Sunday Times broke the story after consulting with a pair of academics who determined Rowling's authorship using software developed pretty much for that very purpose. Ben Zimmer is a linguist, lexicographer, and language columnist for the Wall Street Journal. He's on the line to talk about the science that went into discovering the true identity of Robert Galbraith. Ben, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thanks for having me.
I'm curious about what made reporters at the London Times suspicious in the beginning.
Well, they had some clues. I mean, there was a tip via Twitter that they got that suggested that Rowling was actually behind this novel. And so they looked for other clues. They tried just looking at various items in The Cuckoo's Calling that might somehow reflect Rowling's authorship, for instance, the use of Latin phrases or perhaps a description of women's clothing. But they wanted to get a more scholarly take on it. And so they got in touch with two experts who use computational methods to try to determine the author of a particular text. And so these two experts, who were Patrick Juola from Duquesne University in Pittsburgh and Peter Milliken, who teaches at Oxford University, were given the text of The Cuckoo's Calling, along with novel, of course, that we know that Rowling wrote, The Casual Vacancy, her first adult novel after finishing the Harry Potter books, as well as other novels written by other authors, in order to try to determine if the style of The Cuckoo's Calling was more similar to the writing of Rowling that we know is from her than it is from these other authors. And they determined, yes, it is a much better match for Rowling than any of the other authors that they examined.
So what sort of a test does the text get run through? I mean, obviously there must be some sort of algorithm that detects style, but what in particular gets detected? Do you know?
Well, there are a number of different tests you can run a text through in order to look at whether it is similar in various ways to another text. This is all based on kind of statistical methods. And so they didn't actually find any smoking gun, a particular turn of phrase that only Rowling would have used and was a dead giveaway. Instead, they were looking more at probabilities of various patterns of words. You can look at, for instance, the distribution of word length, you know, five-letter words, six-letter words, seven-letter words. You can run that kind of test just to look at the distribution of lengths. That's one particular kind of pattern that you could look at and get a lot of useful data from. You could also look at the distribution of very common words. And the most common words in the English language are what are called function words, the little words like prepositions or conjunctions or articles. And even if you're trying to write like someone else, say it's somebody who is trying to write like J.K. Rowling, it's actually difficult to fake that because you're not really paying attention to those little words. And so that's often a good test to see whether a text should be attributed to a particular author. You know, after running these tests, they found that The Cuckoo's Calling, the book ostensibly written by Robert Galbraith, was pretty similar to The Casual Vacancy. And Peter Milliken, one of the two experts, was also given the text for one of the Harry Potter books as well. And that scored quite well in terms of the similarity to this new book, which is interesting because that's in a genre that's completely different from, you know, contemporary crime fiction.
So function words, adjacent words, can be almost like a literary fingerprint when you have enough sampling? I mean, they differ that much from person to person?
Well, it's dangerous to think of them as fingerprints because it never really works that way. I mean, even if you think about just what one person produces, the different types of texts that you might write, you write in a whole different range of styles depending on the genre or what you might be writing, an email versus a short story versus a formal letter. So there's all sorts of different ways that even just one person might write. So it's difficult to say, here's the fingerprint or here's the linguistic DNA that will help us identify the author. But there are these general patterns that you can find, especially if you have a lot of text, like in a complete novel, that tend to build up. And if you just match up all of these different patterns together, then it does lead you to sort of see the similarities quite well. But another problem is you have to have kind of a small group of potential authors that you're looking at. And in this case, we were talking about Rowling compared to three other authors, Ruth Rendell and P.D. James and Val McDermid. And those are all British women who write crime fiction. And so, you know, they were dealing with a small group of possible writers and just trying to see, is Rowling a better match than these other ones? That kind of test can be done. You can't simply say, out of all the people in the world, that this must have been written by Rowling. They couldn't make that kind of determination.
Right. Short of an admission by the publisher, they couldn't prove Rowling was the writer.
Yeah, and if this was a court case where you had to prove that she had written it, then it might not stand up in court. And certainly the scholars would not say that they are proving that she wrote it.
So what could J.K. Rowling have done to improve her chances of not being discovered?
Well, that's tough. I mean, when it comes to use of function words and things like that, I'm not sure if there is a way to mask one's style in a reliable way, you know, unless you perhaps had access to one of these software packages that does this kind of stylistic analysis.
You could reverse engineer it.
If perhaps you could and try to make it as dissimilar as possible. But yeah, generally, again, if you're writing at the length of something like a novel, just certain habits of word choice are going to come out, whether you like it or not. I mean, one example that one of the experts, Patrick Juola, gave is that if you think about where a salad fork is relative to a plate, how would you describe that? You could say it's to the left of the plate. You could say it's on the left of the plate. You could say it's at the left of the plate, or maybe to the left side of the plate. And we might pick one of these seemingly arbitrary ways of describing the position of the fork to the plate. It doesn't necessarily have anything to do with our dialect or what have you. It's just this sort of idiosyncratic way that we use language. And those idiosyncrasies will build up to form a kind of a pattern that is recognizable in a large enough text.
Ben Zimmer, linguist, language columnist for The Wall Street Journal, and developer of Vocabulary.com. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks. It was a pleasure.
Now, you'll find a link to Ben's article, The Science That Uncovered J.K. Rowling's Literary Hocus Pocus, at wordofmouthradio.org.